Hey, neighborhood, your feedback and support goes a long way in helping NAI grow and provide the ultimate wrestling fan experience. That's right, and now there's even more ways to take part in the community.
Just head to patreon.com today and search for New Age Insiders.
Everyone is loving their rewards, and new exclusive content is coming all the time.
And with plans starting as low as $2 a month, any support is appreciated and goes a long way towards enhancing the New Age Insiders experience.
Once again, visit patreon.com, search New Age Insiders, and take advantage of the new rewards today.
And now, covering the week's biggest topics in wrestling, pop culture, sports, and more, this is NAI Live with Jason Maltoff, Liam Stryker, and Bill Neville.
Oh, what a week it is. We had a ton of variety of wrestling all weekend. It was some good, some bad.
And some ugly.
And definitely some ugly.
I don't think anybody got their head chopped off.
Yeah, no.
Yet.
Almost.
Yeah. They flew Natty and Alexa Bliss across the world to tell them to go home.
Yeah, right.
they did hospital visits.
Oh, neat. I don't like the issue I have with that is most definitely WWE didn't talk to anybody. They definitely just sent them there to be like, look, we're doing it.
We tried. We called. Yeah. We called the king, and he was like, nah. I'm like, oh, think it's it like, over.
Nah, women aren't people.
Yeah, we tried to call the king, and we could only get as far as Jafar, and then no one else, and then no one higher than that would pick up. And I don't think that guy cares.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about Super Showdown later. Specifically, two legends collided in what was definitely a match worth waiting 20 years for.
Oh, they collided.
Yeah. And
boom, fall down.
They collided and then even tried to wrestle. My all-time favorite dude in general, really, and The Undertaker clashed, and that was something. People were talking about it, so will we. New Japan Dominion went down, where Chris Jericho was unsuccessful in capturing the IWGP Heavyweight Championship from Okada.
Jon Moxley continues to be very fun.
Yep. Juice Robinson got a haircut.
Yeah, well, that happened
before the U.S. title match.
Yeah.
Which that did happen.
Yeah. It's something worth talking about.
It's still true. And we're going to kick things off because it is the six-month anniversary. We have a big anniversary coming up next week, if you can believe it.
It snuck up on us.
Yeah, if you can believe it, for five straight years, we have sat here and talked about this wonderfully wacky world of pro wrestling with all of you. So next week, and we have not missed a week, so next week is 5 years of the New Age Insiders, and we will celebrate. We may have a guest or two. Who knows? We will try to put something together because, yeah, we probably should have known about this like 3 weeks ago. But next week, 5 years of the New Age Insiders.
It's one of those numbers where it's episode 260, and it's obviously perfectly divisible by five, but like 260 is not one of those numbers that you remember to like kind of make it a big deal.
And it is a five or a zero, a real number with a real term, a real name. It has a name?
Still have no idea.
It's integer.
There you go.
Well, that's just a number.
I know. just let him run with it.
Yeah, sure.
How about like a shalm?
A shalm?
A shalm.
What about something like a psalm? It's not quite a song. It's a psalm.
Or a shawl.
Yeah.
It's a shalm. Sure.
A shalm.
It's a song about a rap.
sure.
Shalm. So thank you for joining us. We're just going to dive on in because there's a game that we would like to watch just coming up. So we're early. If you're listening live or watching live on twitch.tv/NewAgeInsidersTV and you joined us live, thank you so much. If you did at 8 and you're like, where are you guys? Well, we weren't there, but you can listen on iTunes, Podomatic, Lurk, Normal, and Stitcher
same. Should be able to replay this as well.
Yeah, sure. twitch.tv/NewAgeInsidersTV is where we're live every Wednesday night, usually at 8, this time at 7. Let's just crack into it. It's a big anniversary. Ours is next week, 5 years, but this one is the 6 month anniversary of WWE telling us, and it definitely feels that way, that we are now in charge of this show and this product. Yeah, great, great theme there, because you know, that was never going to actually happen. And it didn't, but we'll talk all about it. But it is 6 months ago, the authorities, Shane, Stephanie, Vince, and Hunter, stood in the ring and said, it is your show now. Whoops. Yeah,
we're going to listen.
Yeah, whoops.
Our bad.
Yeah, we tried. And
you know, kudos to them. What were you going
to
say, Bill?
And to be fair to them, they did for about a month.
I was going to say that for about 2 weeks. Real good.
Leading up to WrestleMania, they did pretty okay.
They did pretty okay. They tried.
So I just kind of want to open it up before specifics as to like, so I remember when this was announced that we sat here on the show and we're like, okay, it sounds good.
Yes.
But to be fair, WWE over the last few years has really ever, I guess, their issue has never been like presentation and like, it's almost like one of those things where it's like, yeah, really good liars tell you what you want to hear all the time.
Yeah,
you
right.
know what I mean? And like, right. not to just throw some sort of terrible blanket over all four of them, whatever, whatever, but it's just like, yeah, Vince McMahon has been telling you what you want to hear your whole life.
Yeah.
So why would, and so it's to me, guys, it's like, it's a two-part recipe. It's one part Vince McMahon instinctually telling you what you want to hear without a plan,
yeah.
regardless of if there is one. And then the other side of it is what we hear all the time when we have WWE guests, whether it be Justin Roberts, wrestlers, JR, whatever, who tell us there is no plan.
Yeah, right.
So you combine the fact that Vince McMahon will tell you what you want to hear in a company that runs without a plan, and I was always trepidatious that this was actually going to, because it's like one of those things where when we had Dolph Ziggler on last year, right? And we go, they tell us that they, quote, listen, right? What does that mean?
Yeah,
and he goes,
right.
like, well, they have like a Twitter guy. So it's like, oh, so nothing.
Nothing.
So it's like, yeah, but what do you think about like what they promised and what they've delivered so far?
So there is some good, right? Because they did listen when it came to Kofi, right? Kofi came out of nowhere. They were like, yes, we're going to do it.
That whole thing came together in about a month,
right.
but to their credit, they didn't fight it.
Right, they didn't fight it. They leaned into it.
It's also like four or so months after they said, like, this is your show.
Right. Well, it started right after the Royal Rumble, right?
Kofi Mania, really?
Yeah, Kofi Mania started right after the Royal Rumble.
Okay, so maybe they did.
So a couple weeks, right? So that's a positive. That's a check mark for them. But very much I remember sitting here and talking about it where it's like, look, you have to show me, right? This is WWE, and more specifically Vince McMahon, has created an abusive relationship with its fan base, right? Where it's, man, I'm going to leave you. There's this new girl, AEW, and there might be something here. I don't know, but she treats me a little bit better than you do. She gives me more of the stuff I want, and you just tell me what I want to hear and then don't actually act on any of it, and you treat me like garbage. So I'm going to leave. No. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Okay, fine. I'll stick it out till WrestleMania. And then WrestleMania comes and goes, and yeah, you don't have a plan with anything, and you had the money in the bank, and you pulled bullshit like Brock, and like, look, here's the deal. I said this when Brock won the Money in the Bank briefcase. If Brock Lesnar's whole plan was to get the Money in the Bank briefcase only to get it to the Saudi Arabia show, then that is a terrible, all-time bad decision. Brock Lesnar now just having the briefcase, genius decision, and I will stand by that. Having Brock Lesnar now just be able to just show up whenever to just challenge for the championship is awesome, right? That is
when you hear that guy's great. When you hear that guy's music, it's now even more oh whoa, and
yeah,
it's
right.
always been
right.
oh whoa.
Right.
The only issue right now that I have with the current Brock Lesnar Money in the Bank thing going on is every week he keeps coming out and challenging Seth Rollins.
Yes,
yeah, but so I guess. So I guess if I'm a Brock Lesnar fan, which I am, and I'll just for sake of good radio, I'll throw this at you. I can't win. I thought he didn't show up enough.
Yeah, no, I'm 100% on board with Brock Lesnar now just showing up and being like, ah,
because here's
maybe?
Because here's the thing.
Maybe?
Right, because here's the thing. If Brock just went like, yeah, I've got the briefcase, peace out, right, and isn't there for weeks and weeks and weeks, yeah, when he finally shows up, it's going to be like, oh, man, it's big. But all these teases,
when
he finally does, it's going to blow the roof off.
This is also storytelling, right? Brock Lesnar is now just fucking with Seth Rollins. I'm going to show up, and maybe I'm going to cash in, maybe I won't cash in, maybe everything will get screwed up and I won't be able to cash in. But there, they're doing that well, right? So throughout this authority new thing, there are some positives, right? But for those positives, there are far more negatives.
So I guess, again, just for the sake of radio, I'll play the contrarian here, because I do think the WWE is doing some stuff right, and I don't want this just to be like,
right.
Meh.
Right? I don't. But let me just, for the other side of it, say, so Kofi Kingston wins this championship, and that's awesome, and that's all-time stuff, and that's huge, right?
Right.
But in what I guess I'm just saying, like, okay, great, you didn't mess up an organic experience, but, like, how am I the authority? How am I in charge of the show?
I never, when they said that, I never really took that literally, right? And I don't think...
Because I don't get to write for Raw.
Because you don't get to write for Raw. There's no suggestion box.
Right.
You know what I mean? But
do you think they've actively tried to implement something where, like, I don't know, this might sound corny, but literally something where, like, why wouldn't one match a week be on social media with four options on Twitter and you get to vote and then you get that match?
I think that the company's just a little too old in mindset for that. Because I do, that would be cool. That would be cool. But I'm talking about more like ethereal stuff, I guess.
Okay.
And not very literal when it comes to fan participation, because I took it as we screwed up. We're sorry. Right. And we can't go out there and say that we've stopped trying and we're sorry. We're going to try again. So you put the spin on it of like, yeah, we haven't been doing a great job and we haven't been listening to you. So now it's time for us to listen to you. You're the authority now. You know, like that's the corporate spin of it.
Right.
Not very literally like, here's a suggestion box.
Because here's the thing. And again, just for the sake of you get to be the good guy this week and I'll be the bad guy this week. Right. So what I would tell you is, on the one hand, you're right. Kofi Kingston won the WWE title and is still the champion. On the other hand, you could make a case that on both Raw and SmackDown, the most highlighted main character on television for them now is Shane McMahon.
Oh, yes, there's that. There is definitely that.
I'm not so naive and whatever to know that, like, yeah, heel heat, you're supposed to hate the guy. Yeah. No, guys, it's Shane McMahon. This isn't Rusev or brand new Attitude Cesaro guy from NXT. This is Shane McMahon. And so it's not even Baron Corbin. What they've done with Baron Corbin is was just like, yeah, you hate this guy, but his matches are safe. So it's the only guy we can get heat with. Because when AJ Styles tells somebody to piss off, you cheer for him. So that doesn't work. So I understand conceptually, I get Baron Corbin. But Shane McMahon is not Baron Corbin.
No.
He's a 50-year-old McMahon.
Oh, yes.
What are we doing?
Yes, that's dumb. Before I touch on this Shane McMahon stuff, because I do have thoughts on that, one positive, again, you know, and this is more of the change that I say the authority, right, is the Viking experience comes out, right? And now this isn't a perfect one, right? But the Viking experience comes out, and everybody goes, that's dumb. So they go, okay, we'll change it, right? Now, look, the Viking Raiders, not much better. But that's at least a step in the right direction, right? And that's kind of the stuff that I'm talking about. But
do you understand? And I know you do, but I do need to say it out loud.
Yes.
They were successful in NXT,
got
messed up, and you're giving them credit for messing them up less.
Yes. Look, because my overall thesis is
that... And this beautiful glass of milk, you knocked it the fuck over, and I'm supposed to be like, look at you picking up the milk.
WWE's
like, yeah, pick it up.
WWE's grand plan of how to save this show was, we're going to create the hardcore 24/7 championship, but not have the hardcore aspect of it.
Right.
Because we don't do that because we're a PG-13 show. We're going to schlep Mick Foley out there to basically tell us that it's going to be the war zone again, but he's so stroked out and concussed out that he can't actually say the words.
And since then, because that was like 3 weeks ago, and since then nobody's come out to solidify this third hour being different.
Yep.
And so it's like, yeah. And
so like whenever the lights get shut off, kind of, they're like, look, they're changing things. And it's like, no, they probably just didn't turn on the LEDs that week.
Well, it's like, but here's the thing. Now I'll be the good guy. I do like that. I do like that the third hour is aesthetically different. I do like that they killed the crowd red, bright light, dumb stuff. I like that they, you know, changed it. So like the LEDs aren't on the turnbuckles anymore. It looks like Raw. 10 to 11 looks like Raw. At least it did for that 1 week.
It hasn't looked like that since.
They haven't done that again since?
I haven't noticed the
LEDs. Yeah, I haven't noticed it either.
I haven't noticed the LEDs going down on the poles.
Wow, because they used to just basically, like, that 1 week anyway, like, killed the Tron. And, like,
Might have been a tech thing.
Yeah, it might have been a tech. I
don't think so, but maybe just Vince was like, the crowd's not red. And, like, you know what I mean? And it's like, or how about this? And again, I'm not trying to be Debbie Downer here, but how about this? Maybe the reason he doesn't like the red not being on the crowd is because you can see more individuals.
Yeah.
And maybe they're on their phones and not cheering out of their seats because it's not 1998 and you haven't given them anything to be excited about on that level.
Oh, that's exactly what it is.
And so you're like, just drown them in red and then no one will know that they're bored.
Right.
You know what I mean? And it's like, that's terribly frustrating.
Right. Well,
and the answer is to literally just sweep them under a big red carpet.
Well, it's like, do you know that a week from Sunday we have a pay-per-view?
Is that right?
Yeah. Stomping Grounds.
Neat.
You know what I mean? And it's just like, God, we had
dumb name.
Yeah, it is. We had to build to the Saudi Arabia show, which is a glorified house show, but they're paying so much money that you have to pump it up like it's another WrestleMania.
Yeah, and literally call it a WrestleMania quality pay-per-view and put it make it as part of Raw. If you didn't know, like say you didn't go on the internet, right? Like so you were just a TV watcher, and then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, not only is Randy Orton fighting with Triple H again, two people I haven't seen interact since the Shield broke up 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah, right.
Right? Son of a gun, is that Goldberg? You know what I mean? Like, if you just watched the TV as a TV show, which is
I'm going to wrestle this Friday.
Right.
What?
Right, exactly. Vince McMahon insists that you watch this as a weekly episodic show because they got records for it, right?
Right.
So you just watch this as a TV show. Yeah. I'm not in the wrestling business. I'm in the entertainment business. Yeah, if you just watch and all of a sudden, like, Seth Rollins is being tortured
Monday, The Undertaker showed up and goes, this Friday, I want Goldberg.
Yeah.
It's like, what?
Yeah, right.
What?
And then it's just like, for the first time in SmackDown history, Goldberg's going to be here because in 3 days he's wrestling in Saudi Arabia against The Undertaker. And it's just like, this would be like if you were in the middle of the Avengers and then somebody just kind of stopped and said like, oh, and by the way, later on this summer, the Superman's going to box Batman. And it's just like, here? But why?
Why?
And yeah, it's like, I mean, okay, I guess. I feel like it's out of place.
Yeah.
And later on in this episode, we will talk about Goldberg versus The Undertaker and all that nonsense that's going on.
Yeah, but I don't think the Authority has done a good job over the 6 months because the show's still bad.
Yeah, well, here's the thing, is that it just kind of, like, for every step I think they're trying to take forward, Dean Ambrose's interview with Chris Jericho just seems to pop its head and make a ton of sense.
Yeah.
Where it's like, as overly simplistic as it sounds, it's just like one guy's in charge.
Yep.
And he's not the most creative one. He can't be.
Right.
You know, he can't be. Right. Not anymore.
I started a hashtag on Monday, and I'm going to try and keep it going, is give Triple H a chance, you know, because it's like, hey, let's just at least see what the ship looks like this guy as the captain.
See, but you got to understand that, like, you're not dealing with a normal dude. Like,
oh,
Vince
no,
McMahon, if he gives it over, it's an acceptance of,
yep.
Like, you got to understand, and I'm not trying to bring this into politics, right? But this really is, I think, an appropriate example because it's a good friend of his and somebody that I think thinks just like him at the end of the day. So when Donald Trump was running for president in 2016, he was on The Tonight Show with Stephen Colbert, Late Show Stephen Colbert, or whatever. And basically Stephen Colbert said, would you ever apologize for making a mistake? Now's a great time. You're always putting yourself over. Would you ever, like, you know, acknowledge a mistake? And Donald Trump said, if I ever make a mistake, I'll apologize for it. So this man in his, at the time, late 60s, implied that he had never made an error. Never.
Yeah.
And so, like, that is who Vince McMahon is, where he's just like, because he has a guy in Saudi Arabia willing to pay him more money than any other wrestling promotion in the world is worth for these shows. literally.
Yeah, well, I mean, you could stack all of them, I think, outside of New Japan.
Yeah.
And they still wouldn't reach Saudi Arabia.
Exactly. So the paycheck he got for Saudi Arabia alone, these weird house shows in the middle of the afternoon,
in the desert,
are worth more than your company.
Yeah.
And so when he has that in his back pocket and you say to him, the decisions you're making are wrong, he goes, you got to understand. And we talked about this for literally 5 years on this show. It's the most frustrating thing I can tell you as a wrestling fan, but it's a business.
Right.
And if this guy is making money and you're telling him he's doing things wrong while making historic amounts of money, yes, he's going to ignore you. Because it's A, he doesn't believe that he's wrong. He never has.
Right.
He'll apologize if it ever needs to happen.
The problem is that the wrestling, like, and I was talking to Jamie Jamikowski of For the Pops and Let the Chaos Begin, which you can find on NAI Pop and all sorts of other fun stuff. We had lunch the other day and we were talking about it because we were talking about the Saudi Arabia show. And the problem is that WWE, much like the NFL, has made a decision, right? The NFL made a decision where it's like, we don't care about the football fan anymore. What we're going to try and do is grab the casual fan, right? And the way we're going to do that is we're going to dive heavily into fantasy and one day fantasy so that we can get people to care about all the games. And so we're going to get more people that care about that than appeasing the like old school traditional football fans.
And you know why? Because it's the same thing with Vince. You're money. Not actually going away.
Right.
You're hardcore guys
right,
gonna
not
stay.
Going away. Right. And so WWE has basically done the same thing where it's like, yeah, we're going to put all the bells and whistles and just try and make it so that I don't need to tune in every week because I want you to pay for the network to get the pay-per-view. That's ultimately what I want, is I want your $10 to get the pay-per-view because I already got my money for Pepsi to play the commercial during Raw. So I don't need you to tune in to get my money from Pepsi.
And I certainly right? don't need you to like it.
And I certainly don't
That's
need you to like it.
Unfortunately the last thing I care about.
So what I need you to do is I need you to care enough about this product so that when you do hear that Brock Lesnar is, or you know, Kofi Kingston is going to wrestle Daniel Bryan on Sunday, you watch the pay-per-view.
Here's, because you're making outstanding points, and here's something else that I just don't think gets talked about enough when it comes to the internet, right? So if you're Vince McMahon, right, the only way you, Vince McMahon, I don't know how many times I need to say this, the only time Vince McMahon has ever changed, ever, is out of necessity. Yeah. Ever.
Yes.
Ever. Right? Think about the two biggest changes to his programming in its history. Going from PG, whatever Bret Hart was doing, to Attitude,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And why?
Whatever Bret Hart was doing. you know what I mean? Being a grumpy grandmother?
You know what I mean? But to Attitude, right? Because why? He was losing money. He was losing gate. He was yep. losing ratings. He was losing money. Something's got to change because it's business-wise not working. What's the second greatest shift he ever made? Chris Benoit kills his family, and now to basically repackage everything, you know, because the name had already been done, but to basically to repackage everything without changing the name, right? I needed to go 2PG, funny stuff, bring in Scooby-Doo, like, yeah. hey, kids, not only should kids not be afraid of my show, but it's for them now, right?
Right.
And why? Business. He was afraid of getting pounded yep. in the ass business-wise. It has never been for creative reasons.
No.
It has never been because of your pleasure or displeasure, ever. It's never been that way. And I'm not trying to be a dick. I'm frustrated, too. I'm just saying, here's a little hidden secret. You go on Twitter, and you go, man, this show is boring and I hate it. Hashtag Raw. Guess what becomes the number one trending topic in the world?
Hashtag Raw.
Raw. Not Raw sucks. Not I hate Raw. Not yep, stop. Not change the channel. Just Raw.
Right.
Just Raw. And so what you need to do, and I'm not necessarily yeah. trying to throw this cause out there, but what you actually need to do is stop watching and talk about it.
Right.
Because if you don't go watch or talk about it
right.
and he fades into more of an obscurity, then something will have to change to right. revamp your interest.
I've,
but you going online and doing, I hate this hashtag Raw,
yeah.
is all the same as you going, I love this hashtag Raw. It really is.
I have stopped consistently watching Raw, right? Ever since we made a content shift, I have gone more to watching clips that are things people are talking about. If I'm home, I'll watch it. But it has not yep. become appointment television any longer for me for those exact reasons. And for the same reasons, I didn't watch Sands of Time because I morally am against it. So I got to put my foot down and that's that. But I think that there is, that's what you need to do. You need to not watch the things and not talk about them because you're just contributing to the problem,
yep.
Which is exactly what you said. And
that's the only time things ever change. If you go out and you go like, yeah, like literally,
yeah.
if you're a fan that goes, I went to Raw, bought a stupid shirt and didn't have a good time and talked about it on the internet.
You didn't do anything.
You didn't win the war here because the ticket sales are now stay the same. You
yep.
bought the ugly t-shirt and
right.
you talked about it on the internet. And again, I'm not telling you to turn off your TV. I'm just telling you that's actually in, as we head gulp to 2020, the only actual way you make an influence is to, Vince McMahon has to change.
Right.
Because again, not to be a dick, I'm frustrated too. but he doesn't care about you. He doesn't care what you think. He doesn't care if you like this show. He doesn't actually care.
No, and so here's the thing. This is the flip side to it, right? There is a new company that is all about what you think, right? AEW, that's the whole thing, is that we're going to do what you guys are into, right? And to their credit, you know, Cody and Matt and Nick, they read the comments of, you know, of being the elite, and that's why we end up getting more bits with stuff. That's basically how they write the bits, is by reading the comments and being like, oh, everybody likes making fun of Michael Nakasawa.
Yeah, right.
So we're going to keep making fun of Michael Nakasawa because you're into it for some reason.
Yeah, right.
Right? And so the problem is don't now, after All Out and the TV starts, start just immediately saying it's bad. Right? And it's just like, because that's what is ultimately going to happen.
You and I have talked about this, and we got to take a break in a minute, come back, and we'll talk about Super Showdown and a couple of things. But there's, you and I have talked about this off the air, and I think that it's worth bringing up on the air, right? That never before, I think we've coming to a real head with this thing, too. Yeah. Never before have we understood how much of the basic wrestling model has changed over the last 30 years or so,
right,
and really come to a head. Because you and I have talked about this. In the 80s, there used to be a match out there. It was Dusty Rhodes versus Ric Flair, and they could go for up to an hour, and it was incredible. And there was no internet, and it wasn't on TV, and so you heard about it. If you were a wrestling fan, you got the magazines, or word of mouth, or you heard it from other fans that this thing's incredible. So you came to the Sportatorium, and you went, and you saw Dusty Rhodes versus Ric Flair, and you went, oh my God, unbelievable. And then those two got in a car and went to Memphis. And then they got in a car and went to Tallahassee and Tuscaloosa and went around the country, and everybody saw it once, maybe twice, right? The way I would describe it is Blue Man Group. So Blue Man Group, they have slight variances to their shows. You could go to a couple Blue Man Group shows and see different things, right?
Right.
So basically, they have like seven, or let's just say they have, you know, 10 things they could do. And some weeks it'll be 1, 3, 5, 4. And some weeks it'll be 2, 7, 8, 9, right?
Right.
But ultimately, if you go enough, you'll see it all.
Right, exactly.
So if you go to Blue Man Group once, blown away, tell your friends, holy crap, gotta go, right? If you go again, you're gonna be like, oh, that was fun and I saw some new stuff. If you went to Blue Man Group every Monday for 20 years, you would start... you would see some incredible things and just roll your eyes. Yeah, I get it, man. You're playing percussion and blowing marshmallows and you're blue. Yeah. Right? You're at something spectacular.
Yeah, right.
But you're so used to it, right? Right. This is the greatest wrestling roster ever assembled, and we can still find ways to be like, whatever.
Yeah.
And a big, big part of it, quite frankly, is the fact that, Dusty and Rick didn't wrestle every single week on TV. They did every week, but not on TV.
And that's why being the elite is such a good revelation, because I care about the personalities. I care about Hangman Page, and I care about what he's doing, but I don't see him wrestle. I just see him go out there and be Hangman Page. And I see MJF go out there and just be a pretentious douche. And I'm like, oh, I want to see that guy get beat up, but I don't see him in a match and get beat up every week. And so that when the Fire Festival or the Fighter Festival is coming up, and it's just like, oh, I gotta see that, because now I get to watch MJF finally get his comeuppance, because the last time I saw him get his comeuppance was at Double or Nothing, and that was a month ago.
And I that's the but off the hook thing that I try to give WWE credit for, is that it's tough to be a wrestling company that... the model used to be this one thing we did slightly differently all over the place, and you weren't supposed to come 15 times.
Yeah, right.
But now modern wrestling has adapted far quicker than they have.
Right. And and you even see it in the independent circuit, because, I mean, even Tommy Dreamer's doing the same thing.
Right. Tommy Dreamer has a match. Dreamer comes out, you badmouth ECW, it turns into a hardcore, he goes, gets his trash can, beats you up. That's the match.
That's it.
And so, and then he talks for 7 minutes afterwards. And then but at the same time, WWE, there was that great video, it was like floating around a couple weeks ago, where they showed Lars Sullivan do the literally exact same thing for 5 straight weeks. grab the guy in turnbuckle A, pull him around to turnbuckle B, do the bomb over across the ring. Yeah. Like not just like, man, you're doing, feels like you're doing the same thing.
No, he was.
They showed four screens of him doing something identical. You know what I mean? Right. So at least Flair and Dusty, sometimes you win, sometimes I win, sometimes this, sometimes that.
Yeah, right.
This is just like, stand, I mean, it's choreography.
Yeah, right.
And so that's WWE's biggest problem is that, like, you know, just we've talked about this before, but it's just scripting.
Yeah.
Telling a guy like Lars Sullivan to go out there and talk about how, like, do you fault a lion for mauling for food? It's like, who the hell are you? You know what I mean? Like, what?
And you're creepy.
Yeah, right. Yeah, we know it. But yeah, but like, it's the overly producedness. And so, like, here's like my grand conclusion to this point as we get ready to take a break, talk about Dominion and Super Showdown, Goldberg versus Undertaker. My grand point is, you know how they could have and still can give this show, quote, as The Rock would love to phrase it, to the people?
Yeah.
Is to actually give this show to the roster.
Yeah, right.
That's
right.
How you do it. Because I go, I like Seth Rollins. And Seth Rollins goes, ah, yes, Brock. Coming up at Stomping Grounds, it shall be I who is successful yet again. It's like, oh, I don't like this, though. You know what I mean? And so it's just like these, you know, Lars Sullivan, who I think is a big 800 pounds of stupid in a 400-pound bag, right?
Yeah.
But at the same time, like that guy going out there and literally just, I think he said something like, do you fault a leopard for mauling its food? It's like, ah, that's not it. That's not it.
You're supposed to be a troll ogre.
Right. That's right. You're supposed to live under a bridge and bother billy goats.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
What are you doing?
You're supposed to have riddles for me, you weirdo. What are you doing cutting that promo? And so, and they still can. And I think Moxley's interview hopefully might facilitate that. Although I just think it's going to make Vince more angry, stubborn, and like,
oh, I have to prove Moxley wrong.
Right. I think he's going to become like, I think it's going to be like that. Like,
pooper scooper.
Yeah. Who was that guy? Was it Charles Hughes who just like lost his mind and like became like introverted and grew his nails? And like, it's just like, that's what Vince McMahon's going to do. Like, I'll show you.
Yeah,
I'll show you, Ambrose. You know what I mean? Like, how do I fucking reunite the Shield? What do I do now? What do I do now? Every 6 months, I was going to reunite the Shield. What do I do now? Triple H. But my big point would be, if you want to give it to the people, give it to the roster. Because if the roster gets to go out there, like if Kevin Owens got to say whatever the hell he wanted within reason.
Yes, right.
Then you give it to the people because they can cheer for the real guy. Not for these scripts. I gotta pick these promos that are all terrible. It's like you have to look out and be like, what do you think is the most beautiful poop in the world? I'm like, I don't know, man. Like, I guess technically one of them has to be, but you're like, what? You know what I mean? And that's what it is. It's like, I don't get to like these performers. You bring in these incredibly entertaining people, and then you're like, is Shinsuke Nakamura alive?
Oh, who knows?
You know what I mean? That guy's a franchise player.
He's going to come out of nowhere and knee R-Truth in the head and be the 24/7 champion.
Oh, great. A great use for that guy. But like, that is like my big conclusion is I wish they had given this show more to the roster, which is to me by default the people.
Yes.
But there is always in life still time.
Yeah, of course.
You know what I mean? And that would be my biggest, like, how can you give this show to me and my Twitter account?
No.
How do you give talented wrestlers more control of who they want to be and present themselves? I think that is, in a broad sense, the answer to everything. When we come back, we will talk about the New Japan Dominion. Chris Jericho went at the Painmaker, went after the Rainmaker Okada. The Undertaker and Goldberg fell down on each other, and we will talk all about that and more when the New Age Insiders come right back. Hey, neighborhood, your feedback and support goes a long way in helping NAI grow and provide the ultimate wrestling fan experience.
That's right, and now there's even more ways to take part in the community. Just head to patreon.com today and search for New Age Insiders.
Everyone is loving their rewards and new exclusive content is coming all the time.
And with plans starting as low as $2 a month, any support is appreciated and goes a long way towards enhancing the New Age Insiders experience.
Once again, visit patreon.com, search New Age Insiders, and take advantage of the new rewards today.
Hey everybody, this is Rich Palladino, the voice of Chaotic Wrestling. I want to remind you to listen to the Let the Chaos Begin podcast right here on the NAI Pop Network. You will hear stories from the 18-year history of Chaotic Wrestling, from the two guys that were there from day one, myself and former Chaotic Wrestling owner, Jamie J. Makowski. That is the Let the Chaos Begin podcast right here on the NAI Pop Network.
Seriously, I don't even get to talk during this promo?
Shut up, Jamie.
You know, it's pretty crazy, but NAI Pod has now been downloaded on 6 continents and has thousands of weekly listeners.
Yeah, step it up, Antarctica.
Does that make us intercontinental champions?
Kinda. But it also means NAI Pod is a great way to advertise your business, brand, or website.
If you would like to advertise with the New Age Insiders, shoot us an email, newageinsiders@gmail.com.
Tap into a constantly growing audience, advertise with the New Age Insiders, and take your business to main event heights. Send your emails to newageinsiders@gmail.com. That's newageinsiders@gmail.com.
I'm retired business executive and seasoned dad, Jamie Jamikowski.
And I'm a rookie dad and local independent wrestler, Scotty Slade. And we're the hosts of For the Pops.
We're the only podcast on the NAI Pop Network that has a mix of sports, wrestling, and pop culture all in under an hour.
This is a place where two pops talk about the topics that interest us with a special guest in each episode.
And we have a splash of pop culture information to help us survive in our world of wives, kids, and coworkers.
And at the end of each episode, if that wasn't enough, Jamie tests both our guest and I on obscure pop culture facts in an exclusive segment called For the Pops Quiz.
So don't miss For the Pops with Scotty Slade and me, Jamie Jamikowski, only on the NAI Pop Network.
Let's get back to more of the New Age Insiders. Here's Jason Maltov, Liam Stryker, and Bill Neville.
Yeah, it wasn't great.
This is pretty awesome.
Here's what I want to throw out there first.
Yeah, okay.
Right? Before we talk about the bad, I definitely want to throw a positive spin on it to start. And this music is a great example. The Plan?
Yeah, great.
Excellent.
Sure.
The 20 match 20 years ago, or hell, let's call it 15, Goldberg's first run in the company,
yeah,
right?
Okay.
The Plan? Outstanding. Because the setup is the two greatest streaks that this business will ever see. Don't at me. Go ahead and at me because you're wrong. The two greatest streaks that they'll ever see, 173-0 and 21-0, right? The music collab mashup is great. The match they planned was great.
Yeah.
The finish they had in mind, the plan was great. You could see it. That Goldberg was going to go for the tombstone because he's desperate. Taker reverses. There's already been a jackhammer kickout, which I think like one or two people have ever done ever. Like maybe Brock or something ever.
Yeah.
And like
Hogan didn't.
Right. Hogan didn't. Yeah. Triple H didn't. The Rock didn't. Brock Lesnar on at least one occasion didn't. You know what I mean?
Right.
And so it's like, yeah, that's a real like the only wrestling move as protected as the jackhammer I can think of off the top of my head is the One Winged Angel at this point. And you know what I mean? Like, seriously. And their plan was rock solid. Now, two things happened. Goldberg went head first. Three things, I guess. Stop headbutting doors. I love you. William Scott Goldberg is my favorite living human being, right? Don't headbutt the door. Headbutt the door.
The door is shut. We don't need to see
you're it. Right. First of all, there's not even a camera in there.
Right.
You know what I mean? There's not even... Like, if I'm Vince, I'm like, do I put a camera in there? No, because I don't want him to do it. But then he does it anyway, and I didn't even get the shot.
Yeah, right.
I'm so mad. But, like, Goldberg, I love you. I literally DM'd him the other day to be like, hey, buddy, don't worry about that match. And he responded. But the point is, it's just like, you're 50-something years old.
Yeah.
Don't headbutt the door. Because he's bleeding right away.
Yeah, of course.
And then he goes out there and he hits the turnbuckle and he's gushing and it's bad, right? But here's the thing that I'm going to say. Because Goldberg's eating like the entire blame pie here. And Matt Riddle, you can go climb. You can go jump off a bridge, Matt Riddle. Because here's the thing I'm going to say to Matt Riddle. I don't care if somebody shares this audio with him. Bill Goldberg has drawn more money than you ever will ever. You're like 30 years old and have never worked on this main roster. And you're talking about a guy that has been a heavyweight champion at Starrcade, a heavyweight champion at WrestleMania, and you don't understand what the attraction of that dude is. Because guess what, Matt? You're a much better pro wrestler than Bill Goldberg. And he will eclipse you in every statistical category that matters. Titles, fame, money, you name it. I just think Matt Riddle picking a fight with Bill Goldberg is stupid and weird.
I think that it's because
it's not a work though. Goldberg blocked him. They're not secretly buddies.
Yeah, no, I'm not going that far because I'm not an internet idiot. It's definitely Matt trying to get his name out there from like a PR standpoint.
Agreed.
And because he's famously said he wants to retire Brock, right? Yeah. And
you're not famous enough.
Well, and I think that that's ultimately what happens. So I think it's like, yeah, we're not going to give you Brock.
Right. Like, well, the thing is, like, I want to like Matt Riddle.
Right.
But like, guess what, fella? You're not a big enough name to retire Brock Lesnar. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
And Triple H is going to do it before you do.
Yeah.
Are you for real?
And so the next person down that you could potentially see is Goldberg, right? I think it's the same sort of deal. So, you know, I don't put any stock in the Matt Riddle tweets. That's just me.
I think there's a difference between like wink, wink, tongue in cheek stuff and literally calling Bill Goldberg a danger to the people and like, you know, and a disgrace to the business. Get out of here, Matt Riddle.
Yeah. But
championships, money and fame.
Yeah, sure. Sure. Here's the thing. I will preface this by saying I did not watch WWE Sands of Time, right?
I only watched the Goldberg match.
That's all I watched. We don't have to rehash old nonsense, but basically after the Khashoggi stuff, I have put my foot down personally that I will not support these shows. I will not support these shows, so I won't watch them. I've seen enough clips of people sharing stuff, you know, Goldberg getting spiked on his head and, you know, pyro and stupid nonsense and all that stupid dumb stuff.
What's the pyro controversy?
There's no controversy, just like that they had it.
Oh.
They didn't have to pay for it. Yeah, they didn't have to pay for it. So
you can also tell just a little thing. You can also tell where Goldberg's head was in this thing because he didn't stand in the pyro.
Yeah.
What happened was the pyro was shot, and then you can see him walking out the back and then like timing it so it's over and he walks through because he was just like, I'm not doing this again.
Yeah,
I'm not going to come out here and do this.
Yeah, but
I'm not going to go smoke a pack of cigarettes.
This needs to stop. Right. The whole thing is bad. Right. You have two people in their 50s. The Undertaker, for the love of all things, holy, stop fucking wrestling.
It's over, man. You can't do it anymore.
You can't do it anymore.
Right. So I got to get a guy. So all the excuses are. So Roman Reigns, who's as good and competent and safe and young and strong as it gets, that guy can't climb up the mountain with you. And then you go, well, it's because I needed a hip replacement. Right. And it's like, okay, shouldn't that tell you everything?
Yeah, right.
But then, all right. And so you don't want that to be your last match. Can't have it. It's unacceptable. That can't be it. Your last thing should have been the John Cena spot.
Right, yeah.
Because it's fun. You hit everything. Nothing went wrong. You looked like a million bucks.
And if that's what we do for the next 5 years, sure. But you should not be wrestling, right? Again, didn't watch, you know, WWE in honor of Jafar.
Because here's the thing. And I mean this, right? And I love the Undertaker. Who doesn't love and respect the Undertaker, right? I'm not trying to be a douchebag here. But here's the reality of it, right? Every time you come back, it's to make sure your last thing is great or something.
Right.
Well, guess what, dude? It's never going to be. And so here's the other thing, too. How much is that actual pride worth to you? Because you went out there and embarrassed yourself. Again, for the money. Exclusively.
Right.
For the money. This doesn't put a young whippersnapper over.
No.
This doesn't solidify you. This match doesn't mean anything.
Well, and you know what? You're tarnishing all of the respect, quote unquote, that I had for you. Because
this is a bad look, man. There's a video that he does not want to watch. It's going around the internet. It's from like 2002-ish because he's American Badass Undertaker. Yeah. And he's getting interviewed and it's a shoot. And he goes, this is like 2002, 2003, grant you. And he goes, I don't think I'm done yet. So 2003, he's already understands that the finish line's in sight.
Yes, right.
16 years ago. But anyway, and he goes, the biggest thing is that I don't want to go out there and embarrass myself. I don't think I do that. I think I go out there, I think I can hang. When I can't hang, that's when I don't want to do this.
And you can't hang.
You can't hang.
You couldn't hang 5 years ago.
Right. And so, like, look. So, like, look, am I the biggest Bill Goldberg mark in the world? Yeah. And am I probably unbiased? No, I can't tell you I'm unbiased. But here's the thing. The Undertaker's worked matches that are probably literally in five digits, right? He's probably worked 10,000-something matches. Bill Goldberg's worked in the hundreds, right? Undertaker's an all-timer. Bill Goldberg's never been any good at this. The Undertaker's job is to go out there and only do what Goldberg can handle. And the biggest thing is, don't spike him on his head.
Well,
hey, we're going to wrap this thing up.
That aspect is irrelevant. The problem is that everything I've been told about The Undertaker, he's a pro's pro. It's, you know, he's the business. He keeps kayfabe alive. And this is he is the end all be all of pro wrestling.
Right. The biggest locker room guy ever.
You lost to Brock. And that should have been done, because your last match should have been the match that gave somebody the rub on the way out.
Even if it had to be Reigns.
Right.
Even if it had to be Reigns.
Well, that's the thing. 30. Then, 2 years later, we do it again with Roman Reigns, and you're not happy with the way the match ended. So, now we do you versus Brock at Hell in a Cell in SummerSlam, and then you're going to be wrestling in Saudi Arabia against Triple H and Shawn Michaels, who Shawn Michaels is like, look, here's the deal. I don't want to do this, but you're paying me too much to not do it.
Right. I can't tell my wife I turned down $10 million.
Right. You know what I mean? And so, it's just like, Christ, man, you're not good at this anymore. And what is the biggest problem with WWE right now? There are no compelling characters and no compelling stories. Well, if you keep trotting out The Undertaker to put on shitty matches for 2 minutes.
Think about this. On that point, think about this. How in the world are you going to sit down when one guy has ultimate say over anything that you look at? Every single little thing, right? How are you going to have time to put on good weekly programming when you have to talk to the royalty of a country about putting on a birthday party for them?
Yeah.
Multiple times a year, infusing The Undertaker, infusing Bill Goldberg, who are combined 120 years old or something. You know what I mean? And you stick, and that becomes a priority.
Right.
And you know, NXT, and God bless it, but like, why is there an NXT UK?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, do we really need to fucking step on everyone, where it's like, oh, fuck progress. You don't get to be England wrestling. I'll be England wrestling. You don't get Tony Storm. Even though I don't know who that, even though Vince McMahon has never heard of Tony Storm, it's like, I must have her. Probably thinks it's an X-Man.
No, he probably thinks it's a guy.
Exactly, right.
With an Iron Man gimmick.
Right, totally. And it's just like, you know, that's the problem. Why is it, which brings back to our original point, why isn't Raw any good? Because I got to worry about this Saudi Arabia show that is ruining stuff.
Right.
And like, look, yeah, so my whole thing here is like, and just to be fair, if this audio gets to him too, Goldberg, it is extraordinarily over. You like tough love time. Your best match was your last match, and for the love of God, that was it, man. That was you had to work very, very, very hard to finally have a good match.
Right.
And you did it. And it's over. And again, I bet you they paid him $5 to $10 million.
Yeah.
I'm not stupid here.
Yeah, no.
But don't ever come back.
No.
Don't ever do it again.
Well, the problem is, and this is the two-pronged issue, right? The Undertaker's going to keep showing up because they're going to pay him $12 million to show up. And you know what? As a person, it's like, yeah, no, you're stupid if you say, no, I'm not good at this anymore, and I'm not going to take that $12 million. And that's for both of them, right? But the flip side is Vince, buddy, the reason why you have to pay Mark $12 million is because you keep shitting on Bray Wyatt. If you built up Bray Wyatt in the same exact flipping vein that you built up The Undertaker, you can even wash, rinse, repeat with the nonsense.
Why do you think that a guy in his 30s with spooky over-the-top powers is stupid, but a guy in his 60s almost with over-the-top super powers? Like, you know what the tough part is? Just coming from, like, not, again, take my fan glasses off, right? If you're just a human being, don't you look at that and go like, look, yeah, haha, they both look old. But Bill Goldberg would knock that guy the fuck out.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And now I got to watch The Undertaker struggle and roll around with some dude and pretend to choke slam him in his 50s.
Because here's the thing, man.
And it's like, it doesn't even look like,
well,
it's always been unbelievable it's The Undertaker, but it doesn't even look close.
The end of that is the most important part. And you can't put any of the blame on The Undertaker, because if The Undertaker started to lift up Goldberg, right? Because I saw what the end is, because I knew we were going to talk about it on this show. So the Undertaker, so Goldberg goes for the tombstone, and then we do the classic like fallback. Fall back so the Undertaker can reverse it into his own tombstone. And much like with Roman Reigns, right? Roman Reigns, he tried to pick up and then fell down.
Right.
Right? Okay. We can talk about blame 50-50 on that. Roman didn't help, whatever, right? Irrelevant to basically the ultimate thing, because you got to lift the guy up in the spot. It's a fucking play, and you need to hit your mark. But the Undertaker falls back and falls over. That's in no way, shape, or form Bill Goldberg's fault. You're an old-ass man with bad hips that have been replaced.
You're the what I'll keep coming back to defend my guy, and I know it's your guy. I know. You are an all-time veteran. You have got to only put on a match you know your opponent can have with you.
Oh.
And you needed a guy in his 50s who is freakishly strong, but probably not 2 years ago golf cart shrug strong anymore. And you just asked him to do something he couldn't do, and you can't help at all. Like, it's little
That's
things.
The problem.
It's little things like, I know they were both in their prime, but when we talked to Goldberg and we said on this show, we were like, how hard was it to jackhammer the Big Show? And he goes, it wasn't as hard as you might think, because that guy's such a great athlete. He helps in all the ways you don't know how guys help you suplex them. He helped me suplex him. And the Undertaker can't help you do anything. When I give you a German suplex, like, you know, oh, John Cena looks like he landed on the back of his head. John Cena jumped in the air with full trust that I'm going to put him on his head. You know, he jumped in the air as high as he could. You know what I mean? Because if I can't, then I have to lift dead weight, and it looks like when Bailey to belly Lacey Evans.
Right.
And she didn't help, and so two people basically tumble to the ground.
Yeah.
And so if the Undertaker can't help, then you can't ask them to do the move.
Yeah. The thing is that it's like, this is a microcosm of the stuff we talked in the first segment of this show. We have to build to these WrestleMania level shows. So they're a priority with people that are, if you rely on the past, then you sacrifice the present.
Yeah, they're not going to, like we said this before, 10 years, the Raw, whatever anniversary, who shows up?
Nobody.
Like, you know what I mean?
Randy Orton.
Right, because Seth Rollins will still probably be active. So it's like Randy Orton and Cena.
Yeah.
That's it.
And that's if Cena doesn't pull a Hogan and shows up in AEW.
You've no idea how much I'm rooting for that guy to just be like, you know what, man, I want to wrestle.
Yeah. Well, because what are you doing now? You're hosting are you smarter than a fifth grader? On Nickelodeon?
Doesn't that guy have, though, and I know he's just too damn good a guy and too loyal. Like, he's not going to go to AEW. He's too good a guy. He's too loyal. Like,
I don't know. He's working in Orlando, and Jacksonville isn't too far away.
See, we can pipe dream it, but big picture.
Oh, yeah, probably not.
He never will. But, like, yeah, wouldn't that be the ultimate leverage you have that goes, hey, Vince, I would like to win a 17th title.
A 17th world title.
Right. We used to hear we've worked in independent wrestling, right? So we used to hear, and I won't name names, right? But there was a champion that worked for the company, right? And we needed him to make an appearance.
Yep.
We called him and said, we need the New England champion at this thing. And he's talking about schedules and stuff like that. And he's like, I don't think you quite understand. I don't need you there. I need the New England champion there. Wink,
yeah,
wink.
Right.
Right? With John Cena, if I'm him, I'm like, yeah, I'd like to win a 17th title, wherever that may be.
If I have to win the IWGP Heavyweight Championship,
right?
Wow. And I guess I'm going
to
do it.
Right. And now, exactly. Because I would like to win. I need to win a 17th title.
Yeah.
If that's here, ideal. Terrific.
Great.
Right? I need the champion here.
Sure.
If that's you, neat. But the champion will be here. Wink, wink.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And so that's if I'm him. That's I would like that 17th title.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm shopping.
You
know what I mean? And he's just too good a guy to do it. He doesn't have it in him. Speaking of New Japan, just very quickly, Dominion came
that
in.
That is a show I watched.
Chris Jericho did not capture the championship.
No, he did not. Was expected.
Shout out to Super Kicking It with Kelsey, who always does a great job covering New Japan shows. Make sure to give her a follow. She did a great job. What did you think of Dominion as a whole? And what do you kind of think of where we are with Chris Jericho, Johnny Moxley, Okada, just what's going on?
Yeah, so John Moxley showed up. He wrestled again. The big news out of that is that he is entering the G1, right? The G1, for those of you who don't know, is basically a tournament because New Japan loves tournaments and they're great. But it's a tournament. It's a round robin thing. It's very fun. It's great. It takes place all over the summer and the fall. And the winner gets a briefcase that they get to wrestle the IWGP Heavyweight Champion in the main event of Wrestle Kingdom the following year, right? So basically, John Moxley was like, I'm one in on this tournament. I'm now in this company.
Does it surprise you that he's so prevalent in New Japan right now when he just had his big Scott Hall, here I am moment in AEW?
I think that over the next year or so, you will see the ties between Ring of Honor and New Japan go away and AEW.
I think in the next couple of years, you're going to see Ring of Honor go away.
Yes, that's probably true, too.
Flip's going to leave. Skrull is already gone. And then I also think that AEW would love the Briscoes.
Yes, and Jay Lethal.
Sure, why not?
You know what I mean?
Sure, why not?
But you look at it...
And Donovan Dijak. Oh, wait.
Yeah. But then you look at it, and so he enters that. That's really good. His matches are good. He continues to be a different guy. It's just, it's shocking just how much it was just like, Dean Ambrose blows. And John Moxley hated Dean Ambrose.
Yeah.
And it shows. Good for him.
Even looking back, Diesel sucked.
Right.
Kevin Nash was super cool.
Kevin Nash, Big Sexy's awesome.
Razor Ramon is tongue-in-cheek
fun.
So, right. Ironically fun, but that had a shelf life.
Oh, yeah.
Some guy with a Scarface impression?
Yeah,
that
right.
That had a shelf life.
Oh, absolutely.
You know what I mean? And Scott Hall still shows up all drunk and stuff, and we're like, oh, you.
Oh, you're fun.
Scott Hall's character became like, I have lots of problems. And we're like, oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Your vest looks like it's bleeding.
Will Ospreay proves to be the class of the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Division. Especially because now Kent is here, and so that's going to be a ton of fun.
What did you think of the suplex on the apron heard round the world?
Yeah, so, you know...
That was to Ibushi.
That was Naito and Ibushi.
And I'm not... No hyperbole here. Guy's lucky to be alive.
Oh, yeah. That's just a... That is a mental
mistake.
Get off
the apron. Stop doing it. Kevin Owens set a... God bless him. A terrible trend with these apron corner spots. Stop it.
Yeah,
Kota Ibushi could have died.
Yes, he could have. His head got wrenched, and so that's bad. But I ultimately think it was a mental mistake.
Yeah, but what was the goal? A clean German suplex on the hardest part of the ring?
Yes.
Stop doing it. Stop doing apron bullshit.
Sure, that's fine. That's fine. I just feel like the execution of that was a mental mistake. Okada, still the best wrestler in the planet. You know, the guy...
Is that your guy?
That's my guy. He's... So, it's really between the answers to the best wrestler on the planet, to me, are Kenny Omega, Okada, and Seth Rollins, right? Those are the top three.
Can I give you my big top three? And I'm not being facetious. I just want to start throwing his name out there because at some point you have to be in the conversation. I'm going to do it. I think Okada's right there.
Yep.
Kenny Omega should be right there. I think the Velveteen Dream is the total package.
Sure.
Funny, magnetic, natural, in charge of his identity and great matches. That guy's incredible.
He is.
Seriously.
He very much is. The only reason I don't put him in the conversation, while TakeOver 25 is a great spot, didn't main event. And
yeah, right. So he's got a long way to go.
He's got a longer way to go, but
the dream is real.
Yeah, he's sure as hell trending that way.
Guy is so in control of who he wants to be.
Because he could be Adam. Him and Adam Cole are on that same level, which is that next tier down.
But this guy's got this shelf life to him, because he's got this presence, like prince-like energy. Yep. And like, I just think he's great.
You know who he reminds me of? And they're not the same character at all, but it's Naito, right? Just like... Tetsuya Naito knows exactly who he is. He knows exactly what he's doing.
It's like living in this movie that he's starring in.
Right. And so it's the same thing, right? Same concept. And it's him, it's Adam Cole. And so Naito, Cole, Velveteen Dream can be in that. Kevin Owens is in that class.
Sure.
You know what I mean? And so...
I just think at some point you got to start talking about it.
Right.
And I think Velveteen Dream should be in that conversation.
The thing with Okada is, I mean, he is the ace of New Japan. He sets the tones for these shows. He can wrestle literally anybody and put on an excellent match.
Yeah. Chris Jericho is 48.
Yeah.
He needs some help.
Yep. Chris Jericho is getting up there. You know what I mean? Like, he is on
he's there.
Yeah.
48. He's there.
Yeah, he's there.
He's there.
But you know what I mean? And it's like, God damn, Okada, man. You can wrestle literally anybody. You wrestle Kenny Omega? Amazing. Chris Jericho? Amazing. Naito? Amazing. Marty Scurll.
The kind of story you were able to tell with Tanahashi.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? Just great stuff. Yeah. Like a torch passing kind of match. They did it really well.
Yeah, right.
And there is in the world of wrestling a lot of great stuff happening right now, and it is an exciting time just to enjoy.
Yeah, and sometimes you just got to wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning to watch.
Exactly, it's true. But in the world of entertainment, there's a lot of fun stuff going down, and we hope that you guys are having a good time. And if you are, join us on Patreon.com/NewAgeInsiders. We're bringing the fun right over there. When the Patreon show this week, I think, is dropping over the weekend.
Yes.
And so we'll let you guys know, but you're definitely getting one. Patreon.com/NewAgeInsiders. 5 bonus shows a month, including the most fun we have, Be Heard. There's daily rewards, all sorts of fun stuff, and you help support the show, which means the world to us. Patreon.com/NewAgeInsiders. We're live on twitch.tv/NewAgeInsiders TV every Wednesday night at 8 o'clock. Is there anything you guys like to get out there before we go for it?
So the official channel, we separated that movie show, so search that movie show on iTunes. You can find it specifically.
Awesome. And we'll tweet out some links and all that fun stuff too. Shout out to Mike Wendt. 5-year anniversary next week. We can't believe it. Can you? We will
for five snuck up on us
for 5 straight years. But thank you so much for making that happen and making it a reality. If you're enjoying it, tell your friends, stars, thumbs up, all that fun stuff. We love you. My name's been Jason Malta.
I'm Liam Stecker.
And I'm Bill Neville.
We are the New Age Insiders. We will catch you next week on twitch.tv/NewAgeInsidersTV at 8 o'clock. You can find us on Twitter, and please do. We are at New Age Insiders, at Liam NAI, at Bill Neville, NAI, the website where you can find everything that we got going on, the friends, the affiliates, the shows, everything from pop and beyond. NewAgeInsiders.com, iTunes, Podomatic, Lork, Noble, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Play, YouTube, Instagram,
iHeart.
Yeah, all of it. You've made us the premier place for fans of all kinds to connect, discuss, and to be heard.
We out.